To talk about that and a lot more, happy to bring in Andy Cohen, the columnist from Dolphins.com and TheFinsiders.com. He's on the Metro PCS hotline, and you can follow Andy on Twitter. You should, at @acohenfins. Andy's column is every morning during the week at TheFinsiders.com. Today, Andy, you wrote about Rashad Jones and how it's nice to feel safe at safety, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, I wasn't even totally aware that he was close to signing a new contract when I started working on this story. I was just, you know, I thought this was a guy that was traveling under the radar for most of training camp. Obviously, that changed over the last couple of days. But I was so impressed with him last year. I saw a player coming of age. I saw a very young player who was building confidence. And some of the plays he made, I went back and looked at the video of the interception against Buffalo and the interception against Tom Brady. And those were not, you know, throw the ball up and I'm standing there and I catch it. Those were legitimate, I'm going to make the play, and you know, I'm going to show my athletic ability in doing it. And I was very, very impressed with that. And I think this guy obviously is a keeper. I think the scary thing about him is I believe the best is yet to come with him. I really believe that he's going to take his game to another level. And as I pointed out in my column this morning, you know, the Dolphins have not had great safeties through their through the years. You know, I went back and I listed all the safeties they've had, and I really had to go back to Henderson and Scott before I found, you know, bona fide star safeties. Yes, Brock Marion had a good year, and Glenn Blackwood did some nice things. Lewis Oliver did some nice things. But when you're talking about an elite safety, the Dolphins have really been void in that position until now.
Talking to Andy Cohen, columnist for Dolphins.com and TheFinsiders.com. Sunday seems like forever ago, the game against the Dallas Cowboys, but we're still sort of digesting it a little bit. And, of course, it comes with all those asterisks about it being the first preseason game and not even really because it's the Hall of Fame game and Hartline didn't play and Wallace didn't play and Ellerbe and Starks, and I can go on and on with that. But what did you take out of that game, if anything, on Sunday?
What I take out of a game like that is not the final score and really not the performance of specific units, because we don't know. I mean, those units weren't whole in that game. What I do is I take a look at some of the individual performances. A Bumpus, a Shelby, guys like that. I look for guys trying to make an impact on this team, trying to do things to get the coach's eyes. So it's more a matter of individual performances. You know, sure, I would have liked to have seen the Dolphins play better. I would have liked to have seen more continuity. I would have liked to have seen less mistakes. But when you're playing five preseason games, you know, I'm of the belief that four is usually too many. And I understand why Joe Philbin did it, and you know, it makes some sense. But if you have a veteran team, four preseason games, I believe, is too many. So you really don't take much from that first preseason game. I'm going to judge things more beginning this week, escalating the next week, and then the fourth preseason game is where I really expect to see some solidarity on the team and the positions and the position players start to make more of an impact.
And then we'll backpedal a little bit back to Rashad Jones. When you sign a guy like Rashad and you sign guys like Cameron Wake and Paul Soliai, what kind of message does that send to the rest of your football team?
By the way, you backpedal very well.
Sam Madison would be proud.
It sends a clear message. It sends a message that shouts, you perform, you live up to our expectations, and we're going to reward you. And clearly this is the case of a 25-year-old kid who exceeded their expectations, who they saw a bright future for, and they rewarded him. I think you're going to see that. I think that's the philosophy of the team, is to identify their core players, reward their core players, and make sure they're around for a while. It's a great comfort zone knowing that he's around for a while now, and I think this is a continuing, evolving process, and I think you're going to see the Dolphins do that more this year. Pinpoint who the quality players are, pinpoint where they are in their career, pinpoint what the upside is, and reward those players. And I think it's great for an organization to do, and it really spreads the word among the locker room that you do get rewarded for the effort you put in.
Andy, you just mentioned that's a great segue into my question. Who do you feel is that next player or next couple of guys that the Dolphins are kind of targeting that you say, hey, you know, they may want to be working something out this season to make sure that they're a Dolphin long term?
Yeah, you know, I don't have the contract situation of each player memorized, so it's hard for me to pinpoint and say who they are. You have to also realize, Twan, that they've brought in a lot of new players this year, signed them to some hefty contracts. So the number, considering all the new players they brought in and all the rookies that are going to make the team, is not as great as it normally would be on a veteran team. You're already paying Deion Jordan. Lamar Miller is still on his first contract. Certainly Lamar Miller, if Lamar Miller steps up this year, earns the number one running back job, has a breakthrough season, I can see a year from now, entering his third year where they want to reward a Lamar Miller. But, generally speaking, this is a team involved in a major transition. I think when you see the final roster, I think you're going to see at least 20 new players on this team from a year ago.
Wow.
Possibly as much as half the roster. I think it's going to be significant. So because there are so many new players, there really aren't a lot of players that fit into the Rashad Jones category at this point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You mentioned a couple of the veteran guys they bring in too. Grimes, Keller, one-year deals for those guys. They're not young like Rashad Jones is, but maybe something could be worked out there if things go well with them. We're talking to Andy Cohen, the columnist from Dolphins.com. Let's talk about the man of the hour, Mike Wallace. It was great to see him back out at practice today. It surprised me a little bit. He and Tannehill had the nice 40-yard touchdown connection. Did you like what you saw? I imagine you did out of Wallace today, and you think this means we might very well see him on Friday night?
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll see him on Friday night, first of all. For the second preseason game, you always want to err on the side of caution. But it's interesting he caught a 40-yard pass, because that was the magic number in one of my columns earlier this year. They only had three 40-yard pass plays last year. Three 40-yard pass plays, as amazing as that is. Two of them were in the same game by Brian Hartline at Arizona. Wallace has made a career of putting together 40-plus pass plays. You know, I'm hoping he has 10 of those this year. I think that would be special, and I think that would take the Dolphins really where they want to go with this big play offense. But certainly it's a step in the right direction. I wouldn't rush him along. We know what Mike Wallace is about. We know the gear that he has. And the important thing now for Wallace is to get as much practice time with Tannehill as he possibly can get, that these two need to build a rapport, build a confidence level, build a trust among one another. Tannehill needs to know that there are some receivers in this league where if they're covered, they're open. And I believe Wallace is one of those receivers. So that's where trust comes into play. He can see a guy running stride for stride for Wallace. I don't want Tannehill to hesitate putting the ball up in that situation, because Wallace has another gear, and that ball can find the other gear.
Talking to Andy Cohen, the other big news today here in Davie was Steve Ross visited with the media, his first time talking to the group this season. I know you're writing about that tomorrow morning for Dolphins.com. What did you hear? What do you think?
You know, this is a man who really is doing everything he can to help this football team win. He's giving them unlimited resources. If you look at the construction around the building and what they've done to both floors, if you look at the contracts that he's doled out, there really isn't anything that I can think of that the football operation has asked him of significance where he has said no. And that's a credit to him. He's hired people that he has a lot of confidence in. He's given them the resources they need. And for the most part, he's there for guidance and assistance, but he stays out of the way, and he lets them do their job. And when you really evaluate owners, and you look around the league, and you see owners that meddle all the time, that don't give their team the resources to win, you really have to look at Steven Ross and appreciate what he does, and realize that at this point, he's really doing everything he can to help his football team.
We will read more about that tomorrow morning. First thing, AC in the AM, Andy Cohen, at A. Cohen Fins on Twitter. Always appreciate the insight. Great stuff this week. I really enjoyed, and if people missed it, you go back and check it. I think it was yesterday, the Matt Moore, Don Strock back and forth, just sort of the art of being a backup quarterback. I thought that was some really great stuff. Appreciate it as always, Andy.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it.